Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles.
Anybody here want to live forever? Say I do. Anybody here want to walk on golden streets? Say I do. Anybody here sick and tired of living like you do? Anybody here want a home with love forever? Say I do.
We are here at the Feast of Tabernacles. Thank you for joining us. And we would like to go to the book of Hebrews here at this feast today. Hebrews chapter 11, dwelling in tabernacles, is a symbol of faith. Tabernacles is a symbol of faith that Yahweh will fulfill his promises. Hebrews chapter 11 now, as we hear the turning of pages, or in the... What do you call that telephone there? We won't hear any turning of pages with the smartphone. It says in verse 8, by faith Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is Yahweh. So the earthly tabernacle was a type of the heavenly tabernacle. Now back to turn back to chapter 8 here, and I often read from the Tree of Life version, and this is King James today at this point. Hebrews 8 verse 2, the true tabernacle, I'm picking it up here in verse 2, the true tabernacle which Yahweh pitched, and not man. And then we skip here. As Moses was admonished of Yahweh when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he saith, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. So living in tabernacles is a symbol of faith, and it's a type of being under Yahweh's protection in time of trouble, and of eventually living in Yahweh's house. And at this point, we could quote John chapter 14. Let's see, here it is. Now I go back to my King James again. And Yahusha is speaking, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in Yahweh, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yochanan 14, 1 through 4. And you can also find this study on yahvehyahweh.name. That's www.yahvehyahweh.name. Messiah said in chapter 14 of Yochanan, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He's the one who spoke throughout Scripture, and he's the one described, the Messiah described in the book of Isaiah, as plain as the nose is on your face. If he had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And then skipping to verse 12, that's 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, or what was the other word? Magnified, or blessed, exalted in my Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then, he says in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I pray the Father, he shall come, and another comforter. He'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And so that was, speaking of Yahweh's Son, let's see, where is that? Let's go to verse 9. Messiah said unto Philip, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, Show us the Father? That's Tehillim in the Old Testament, Psalm 27, verse 4 through 6. Living in tabernacles is a type of being under Yahweh's protection in time of trouble. Psalm 27, 4. One thing have I desired of Yahweh, that I will seek after, that I may dwell, or tabernacle, in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh. Now here's the Tree of Life version now. Switching from the King James to the Tree of Life. My wife just handed me this. Okay, verse 4. One thing I have asked of Yahweh, and I'm going to change their word that they used to Yahweh, because that's in the text, in the Hebrew text. One thing I have asked of Yahweh, that I will seek to dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh, and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will hide me in his sukkah, and conceal me in the shelter of his tent, and set me high upon a rock. Then will my head be high above all my enemies around me. In his tabernacle I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, sing praises to Yahweh. Hear, Yahweh, when I call with my voice, be gracious or favorable to me, and answer me. Thank you. Then in Psalm 46, verse 4, to show that, yes, we will live with Yahweh in his tabernacles, Psalm 46, verse 4, the very famous caption of Scripture that says, There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of Yah, the pure place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And then for some reason, I quoted that first, jumping around Psalm 46, but now turn back a few pages to Psalm 43, verse 3. I send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. I send out light and truth, let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy pure hill and to thy tabernacles. And one of the famous feast day scriptures in Psalm 84 now. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Yahweh of armies, or Yahweh of hosts, sovereign one. My soul longs, yea, even faints, for the courts of Yahweh. Blessed are they that tabernacle in thy house. Blessed are they that dwell, in the King James, in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of Yahweh than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And my comment there is, seems like we're always rubbing shoulders with those in the tents of wickedness. The culture is all around us, and I hear a lot of complaints about that these days. And during the feast, well, that's kind of in the past. We're dwelling in a symbolic time here during the Feast of Tabernacles of the great future of being with Yahweh. So we would look back on all these problems and see how small they really were. And certainly during this time of the Feast of Tabernacles, we have that perspective of being able to look back over our shoulder at all the troubles that would have been during our lifetime. And one of our the congregants is groaning back there. Yes, the one with the tail. Psalm 118 now. Hope we won't get any more groaners. Psalm 118, verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The voice of rejoicing and salvation. Even Psalm 61 says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. And Psalm 132, And finally, I won't keep jumping around, so this is the last time I'm going to jump in Psalms, back and forth like that, like going up and down a hill. Psalm 132, verse 7, we will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. In New Jerusalem, Yahweh's tabernacle will be on the earth, and he will dwell with men. That's my parenthetical statement there. In New Jerusalem, Yahweh's tabernacle is on the earth, and he's going to dwell. So let's go to the book of the Revelation now for a little bit, starting out in chapter 3, and then next to chapter 21. And I see I don't have my all-necessary bottle of water. So, Jean, if you get a chance, please rescue that, retrieve it, I mean. Thank you. And, okay, we have Revelation now from, we have the Tree of Life version. And then I might go to the King James here, which is on the screen here at the feast for you today. I hope you're really enjoying the feast and looking forward to some of the great fellowship and meals. You'll talk to a lot of people who are no longer strangers. They've been grafted into the good olive tree. 3 verse 12, which, where do they put it? It's kind of hard. There we go. The one who overcomes, the Messiah speaking here, the one who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of, and then I have to change a word, the G-O-D word, of my, and some don't like Elohim either, but it's actually in the original scrolls, at least the Hebrew scroll. We'll change that G-O-D, though, to the Sovereign One. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my Sovereign One, and will never leave it. And on him I will write the name of my Sovereign One and the name of the city of my Sovereign One, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from the Eternal or Sovereign One or Commander-in-Chief, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Ruach is saying to Messiah's communities. Or if you're used to the King James, it doesn't take long here for me to capture that. Him that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my Yah, and he shall no more go out, and I will write upon him the name of my Yah, and the name of the city of my Yah, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from Yahweh, and I will write upon him my new name. Then in chapter 21, in the last book in the scriptures, Revelation chapter 21, and it speaks of this New Jerusalem, the pure city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh, out of heaven. The tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, or it actually should be Yah there, since the when they transposed the Greek and they misinterpreted into G-O-D, we use Yah. The tabernacle of Yah is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. A very, very fine fellowship with Yahweh indeed. Well, now at 14 minutes in, some would like to dream about going to heaven. Some believe they were actually there. Even David has not ascended, but yes. The Feast of Tabernacles is this year. The theme is going to be the Sawdust Trail. So there will be some old-time gospel hymns. I mean, not just the regular run-of-the-mill ones, but some really not only up-tempo and great stirring songs, but some very devout ones. For example, Be Still My Soul, with the sound of the xylophones in the background or something. It's going to be beautiful. The Sawdust Trail here at the feast. And a little bit of Heavenly Hillbilly, perhaps, if I could use an old-time revival. The Sawdust Trail at the Feast of Tabernacles. And the music is playing. People everywhere are rejoicing every day. And shalom. And during the not high days, which we call common days, or something. They might even be shopping. And, of course, we'll have meetings, and they'll be studying. We'll be having campfire revival-type get-togethers there, and then more sawdust. You don't even have to bring your own sawdust. And in the past, we've had some fantastic revival times. Even back in the days of the church, we went to a place called Collier Park on Sadus Pass, Washington. And at that time, I don't remember what the messages were about, but I can remember sitting there in the back of that nice old camp meeting place, and it was kind of hot, and some were kind of dozing off. But anyway, people were at the campfire meeting. Certainly, I remember they were being what we believe were, they were being saved, and marriages were restored. And we had some of the ladies come down to the campfire and minister to the other ladies, and asking for the Ruach, the Spirit, to fill them. At another camp meeting in the 1980s, it was the Feast of Tabernacles at Salmon Falls Bible Camp, is what they call it there in Washington, near Washougal, and about 14 miles north of there, up the Salmon Creek. What a beautiful time that was. People didn't know everything about the feast then, but we were studying, and we were fellowshipping. We were all working together on the non-high days. We were, maybe even a few were fishing and hiking and getting out for some travel around there, seeing the Columbia River Gorge. And all those creations, they're so amazing, so fantastic to see. You know, getting away from your own surroundings and your own environment and seeing the beauty that surrounds us, that Yahweh has created these things out of nothing. He created them all. And he did that on those 6 days of creation that we read about in Genesis. And, of course, the creation of man had to be simultaneous. All the essential organs had to be operating in place at that time, as well as the food supply had to be available instantly. It didn't all, put it up here, please, didn't all have to be over a long evolutionary period or anything. It had to be instantaneous or within hours, or the body would die, or the animal would die. Okay, a little bit there about creation for you. And another illustration, going back to a time at Mount Hood, the great Mount Hood, Oregon. I think that thing is 12,000 some feet high. And at that part of the hemisphere, it's quite a ways north. So it was beautiful up there at Mount Hood. And people were being filled with a Ruach HaKadosh, the pure spirit, and empowered to minister there. I can remember that. Actually, it was another denomination running that one back in the 1970s or 80s. But it was just so powerful. And these days, of course, we have the Messianic Fellowship, those that hopefully would follow Messiah and believe all that he is and all that he says and does, the true Messiah. And as a result of that, we have great dynamic preaching and music, messianic musicians, and dancing, of course, no Christian rock. And we have beautiful silent times where hundreds and hundreds can be saved and immersed in what is called rakats, or tubal is the correct Hebrew word for that, and not mikveh, but anyway, they're immersed. If people don't want to belabor the study of words that are important in Scripture, but it is called rakats, hundreds are saved, and like being at Tabernacles, and like heaven, why would anyone not want to be here? Or for Passover, for the 7 days of Passover as we travel, or for the couple of days, actually one day, for Pentecost or First Fruits. Why wouldn't they want to be here? Because they're in the presence of Yahweh. Oh, what a wonderful time. There was a song, Hillbilly Heaven, Sorry, but Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, and Trigger are not here, and they're not there yet in the kingdom of heaven. Hopefully they will be. Nor the Sons of the Pioneers, or Tex Ritter, or Red Sylvine. None of those are there yet. The book of Acts chapter 2 and another chapter in Acts says that even King David is still in the grave, and his sepulcher is still with us to this day. He is both dead or sleeping and buried. We don't want to get into that doctrine. Some people are still sensitive about that, so we won't talk about that anymore. And at the feast, marriages and miracles, healings, restoration of all kind, and some were not healed. But will you be there? Oh, there were kitchen tents and Sukkot and tents and lots of foods and salads and fruits and desserts. Yes, and even clean meats. Mostly everyone being kindly affectionated toward one another. And in addition to the music and the dancing, there is singing. And hopefully uplifting singing, not something really too slow or too depressing. But slow doesn't mean depressing, by the way. As I am practically a music major, having been in music since 1953 or so. And there were traveling, as I mentioned, and lots of trails to go out and see the mountains, the canyons of the mountains, the volcanic area up in, for example, the McKinsey area of Oregon, and rivers and streams and waterfalls, and all kinds of people, young, old, and of all different hairstyles and colors. And there was imperfection and also perfection. There was shalom, peace and tranquility, and settled emotions. People really felt settled. And then, of course, after the feast, there's always the afterglow. And even after you get home, there's that glow that would naturally happen. And, you know, until you get back into the world and get away from such a heavenly environment as the Feast of Tabernacles. Then we're going to go to Hosea chapter 12, verse 9, and also chapter 5, which shows a type of heaven there. But there was a error amongst believers for years, a gentleman, G.G. Rupert, theologian and author G.G. Rupert, corrected a misunderstanding that they had to show that Ephraim, the Israel of today, which we believe, are the people of the Anglo-Saxon America, Britain, and Northwestern Europe, and they will be made to dwell in tabernacles. Yes, all around the world, people will be made to dwell in tabernacles, as it shows there, as in the days of the feast. Our nation should keep the Feast of Tabernacles. But the context of the scripture is prophetic. Now, can I see that? Okay. Then I'm going to look up not only Hosea 5, but let's see. Yeah, we need a real radio person always says, let's see here. That was a mark of a professional. So, chapter 12 of Hosea, verse 9 here. Verse 8 said, Ephraim's speaking, yet I am become rich. I have found me out wealth in all my labors. They shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. And then Yahweh speaking in verse 9. And I that am Yahweh, thy Elohim from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feasts. Also see chapter 2, 11. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. And we'll get into a little bit of that possibly. Or, well, maybe not. Maybe we'll do that part later. But our nation and all of Israel, all of, including Jews, shall be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles in the future. That is, of course, written in Zechariah 14, Isaiah 66, and the book of the Revelation, although the Feast of Tabernacles is not directly interpreted from the Greek. But the context is prophetic here. After Ephraim is desolated by a vast army of the east, those remaining and those scattered as slaves in captivity will have to dwell in tabernacles, in shanties or shelters or tents, as Israel of old did when they camped in the wilderness on their way from Egypt to the Promised Land. So, Americans, you may be someday living in a shanty for a period of time there. And then Hosea 5:15 indicates, along with chapter 9, indicating a coming national captivity because of our sins. Or, you're not supposed to say that word anymore, they tell us. So we would use, did I read the right chapter there? Hang on now. What was I saying? Transgressions instead of sin. Was I reading from chapter 4 there? I said 12:9 though, Gene, if you don't mind. 12:9 said, I am I that Yahweh from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles. And then back to chapter 5, verse 15. So what does he say here? I will go, and Ephraim speaking again, and verse 14, I will be unto Ephraim, Yahweh speaking, I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. Messiah is speaking here to us and to Judah, Ephraim. Then chapter 9, verse 3. I'm going to cover all of these. 9, verse 3, what's that say? They shall not dwell in Yahweh's land. Now let me start out here. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring. A-whoring from Yahweh, thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor, or a whore's pay. The floor and the wine press shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in Yahweh's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. And does that say basically the same thing there in the new Tree of Life?
Yeah.
Oh, they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. How about jumping to verse 5 here? What will we do in the solemn day and in the house in the day of the feast of Yahweh? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. And Egypt will gather them up. Memphis or Moph, M-O-P-H, shall bury them. The pleasant places, for their silver nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation are come, the days of recompense. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity. The man of the spirit and the great hatred. So let us very carefully do our walk in Yahweh. The Feast of Tabernacles is prophetic, a shadow of things to come, as Paul put that in Colossians 2, to tabernacle, to dwell with Messiah in perfection. Actually, Paul said, let no one judge you in eating or drinking. That was verbs there, not shouldn't be nouns, but let no man judge you in eating or in drinking, or in respect of keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, or new moons, or Sabbath days, which are, not were, as some corrupted translations put that, but which are a shadow, or a foreshadow of things to come. But the body of Messiah, and then end that sentence, the body of Messiah what? shall judge you. That would be the simplest way to make sense out of that sentence there in proper English. A shadow of things to come to tabernacle with Messiah. Praise Yah that he is here. And the principles of the doctrine of Messiah are being taught. We're building the Sukkot or booths or shanties and dwelling in them for 7 days. Some are going to be in there even longer at their own discretion. And the first and the last days are high days with no work allowed. It's pilgrimage travel to the feast, just like Passover and Pentecost. And work can be done on the non-high days. And you know, I've read Zechariah 14 so many times here on this podcast, on this radio thing here, but I think I should read just a little bit of it here in Zechariah 14 regarding the feast day again. So if you've heard this over and over, bear with us and be encouraged. 14 verse 6 of Zechariah, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall, even them, shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's a blessing. And he tells us to rejoice in the feast. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Now this is prophetic. This is a time yet in the future. If the family of Egypt don't go up, and then they don't come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, this shall be the punishment of all nations. There will be no rain. And Yahweh will smite the heathen, or our Gentiles, that don't want to come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. I think that includes some Christian radio hosts. Oh, no, I don't know that. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses Kodesh unto Yahweh, or Kadosh, it should be there from the Hebrew, I think you'll find. And the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. I would like to thank Giving and Sharing. That's www.giveshare.org for much of the information here. We're going to be quoting from the Antiquities, Part 4. And the gentleman writing was the author of the website, the web lackey, Richard Nichols, the late Richard. And he writes, those with whom we fellowship with in Michigan contributed much to spreading joy and inspiration to others. It was a truly memorable and uplifting experience. In one scripture study, a passage from Josephus, Antiquities 4, Josephus was quoted with regard to the three pilgrimage feasts of Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Let those that live as remote as the bounds of the land which the Hebrews shall possess come to that city where the temple shall be, and this three times in the year, and this, that they may give thanks to Yahweh for his former beliefs, and may entreat him for those they shall want thereafter, and let them by this means maintain a friendly correspondence with one another by such meetings and feastings together. For it is a good thing for those that are of the same stock and under the same institution of laws not to be unacquainted with each other, which acquaintance will be maintained by thus conversing together and by seeing and talking with one another, and so renewing the memorials of this union. For if they do not thus converse together continually, they will appear like mere strangers to one another. Antiquities, Part 4. And 8. In other words, to have a pure convocation, as the scripture says. Thanks to Josephus. And Deuteronomy chapter 16. Now Devarim 16:16. Three times in a year shall all males appear before Yahweh thy Elohim in the place which Yahweh shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, Pesach, in the feast of weeks, Shavuot, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. They shall not appear before Yahweh empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of Yahweh thy Elohim, or Yahweh thy Mighty One, which he has given thee. And that was Deuteronomy 16:16. This is an extra special offering that we bring three times a year, and it can be offered toward the Levites, the leaders, or toward the orphan or the widow. And chapter 16 we read, tell me again, it was verse 16, 17, but we go back here to verses 13 and 15 now. Flip back there on your phone or in the hard copy in the text on your in your scripture. 16:13, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto Yahweh thy Yah, in the place which Yahweh shall choose, because Yahweh thy Yah shall bless thee in thine increase, and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. Ecclesiastes now, chapter 10. A feast is made for laughter. Now Proverbs 15:15. He that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. A feast is made for laughter. He of a merry heart has a continual feast. And Psalm 42, verse 4, we did not cover yet. I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of Yah, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept feast day. Richard makes a comment, the feast is solemn in that it is Yah's feast and must be kept with reverence and respect. But it is joyous because we are to realize how much Yah has blessed us with and shall bless us if we remain faithful. Ecclesiastes 7, now we were in chapter 10, a feast is made for laughter. And now in 7, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, or the goal of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Ecclesiastes 7, 2 and 4, whereas 10 verse 19 says a feast is made for laughter. It is the apparent contradiction with the commands. Is this a contradiction with the command to rejoice? No, it is better to mourn all the time than feast all the time, because you consider the end of man and the meaning of life when you're solemn, not when you're rejoicing. Yahweh wants us to be balanced. Learn to rejoice properly at the feast, but also to be solemn and consider the true values in life. Yahweh says in Jeremiah 16, and from Richard Nichols' paraphrase, which is not available in print, Jeremiah 16:8, don't go into the house of feasting or revelry, for those people have forsaken me. I will cause mirth and gladness to cease from them. Jeremiah Yahu 16:8, and then Yeshayahu, or Isaiah 30:29. Isaiah 30:29, you shall have a song, as in the night when a pure solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goes with a pipe to come into the mountain of Yahweh, to the Mighty One, the Rock of Israel. Oh, praise Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh, for inspiring Yeshayahu to write what he did there in 30:29. And I didn't finish the quote there. I did. Thank you. You're welcome. Sabbath is a pure day, but pollution caused Israel's captivity. Sabbath is a pure day. In Ezekiel or Yekezekiel chapter 20, verse 12, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sets them apart. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness, and my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. I would scatter them among the heathen nation, and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, Now, the judgments found in Exodus 21 through 23. In Exodus, there, specifically the feast days. But they had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths. The word polluted is translated from the Hebrew kalal, or C-H, or K-A-L-A-L. That's just a way of transliterating there. And in Strong's, it's 2490 in the Hebrew. This word means to kalal. Polluted means to bore, to wound, to dissolve, to profane, to break it, to begin, as if opening a wedge. And it is not as the Strong's word kanepph, C-H-A-N-E-P-H in English, 2610, polluted with blood, as in Psalm 106, and T-A-M-E, tame, 2930, which means to be foul, contaminated, defiled greatly, utterly unclean, as a woman defiled by adultery or fornication, as an example in Numbers 5:13. So, once again, how'd that word polluted come up there? It was from Ezekiel 20. But they had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths. Or they bore or wounded, dissolved, profaned, broke, or opened with a wedge. Next. And also, kalal in Ezekiel 20 does not mean open defiance or rebellion, not keeping the Sabbaths at all, but it does mean the wrong kind of obedience, the in vain do they worship type of obedience. In vain do they worship him. And an example in Jeremiah 34, an example of use of kalal, reminding Israel of the seventh year of release of Hebrew servants. 34:15 in Jeremiah, they had done right in proclaiming liberty, every man to his neighbor, as the law required, but now they, quote, they turned or tried to get around the law without openly defying it. They turned and polluted kalal. They polluted my name and caused every man his servant, whom he had set at liberty at their pleasure, only for a time in pretended observance of the law. So when he had set at liberty at their pleasure to return and brought them again into subjection contrary to the law of Deuteronomy 15. Because they hadn't proclaimed liberty as they should have, Yahweh says in verse 17, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith Yahweh, a liberty to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you to be removed from all the kingdoms of the earth. Captivity came to Israel for bending Yahweh's law, especially the opening wedge of improper observance of the pure days, feast days. They may have kept the right day, but they did it slightly wrong. They kalaled it. They kalaled the Sabbaths, and as a result went into captivity. So here we are today, standing spiritually naked before the Father. See Numbers 18. We don't, but as a whole we do. Numbers 18 and Exodus 20, verse 25, were an example of kalal, referring to a slight deviation from obedience to Yahweh's law. That would be Exodus 20, 25, and Numbers 18, 26. And then the question for today on this high day is, are we kalaling it, or polluting it, of Yahweh's annual and weekly Sabbath days as well? So that is a very sobering question of the hour here. And then the next category is returning the Jewish captives to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. First of all, where was the altar set up? Ezra chapter 3. And when the seventh month, that's this scriptural seventh month, was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, and the people gathered themselves together at one man in Jerusalem. And they set the altar upon his basis, and they offered burnt offerings morning and evening. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written. with its daily burnt offerings. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings unto Yahweh. But the foundation of the temple was not yet laid. Then in Nehemiah 8, after the building of the wall, and on the, it says, and on the, chapter 8, 13, and on the second day of Tishri, were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which Yahweh had commanded them, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, pine, myrtle, palm, branches of thickness, and to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his temporary apartment, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of Yahweh, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Yeshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. There was very great gladness, and day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of Yahweh. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly, according unto the manner. And that's how it all started. In, so much for software and so on. And so then we'll have to go on to Haggai's prophesy during the Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day, in Haggai chapters 2 is the building of the temple, which began in the sixth month in the 24th day. Then chapter 1, verse 14, in the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, Tishri 21, in the 1 and 20th, 21st day of the month, I think that's one day after the feast, came the word of Yahweh by the hand of the prophet Haggai, saying, Be strong, O Zerubbabel, be strong, O Yahshua, son of the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith Yahweh, and work, for I am with you. My spirit remains among you, fear you not, for thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and will fill this house with splendor. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith Yahweh of armies. The splendor of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, and in this place I will give peace, saith Yahweh of armies. Well, speaking more recently, the Apostle Shaul, or Paul, in A.D. 52 kept the Feast of Tabernacles. In chapter 18 of Maasa, Acts 18:21. But Paul, I better look that up in my own. Acts 18:21, Paul bade them of Ephesus farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast which comes in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if Yahweh will permit. So, Acts 18:21. And I always want to check my trusty, dusty old footnotes. Let's see, 18. In A.D. 52, that's correct. I will keep or celebrate this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you if Yahweh will, and he sailed from Ephesus. Well, one scholar believed that this was not Sukkot, but Shavuot. And then it says, when he had landed at Caesarea, he had gone up and saluted the assembly, and he went down to Antioch. Antioch. And so you could read that account there. And verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, upon whom Aquila and Priscilla had heard. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of Yahweh more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the emissaries to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through the unmerited favor. For he had mightily convinced the Jews that publicly showing to by the scriptures that Messiah, that Yehoshua was the Messiah. Some say Yeshua was the Messiah. And in the New Jerusalem of the future, in the millennium, will the Feast of Tabernacles be kept? Ezekiel, or Ezekiel 36, 24. Let's turn to Ezekiel 36, and also we'll go to chapter 44. And now this speaker will also need to take a break after this. We hope we'll take a break in a moment. Ezekiel 36, 24, and then 37 and 38. I will take you from among the heathen. I will take you from among the Gentiles and gather you out of all countries and will bring you unto your own land. And I will increase Israel, or increase them with men like a flock, as a pure flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. Chapter 37 follows about the dry bones, the resurrection, and a type, the last great day, the type of the remaining saints. Chapter 44 of Ezekiel. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, shall teach my people the difference between the pure and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes and my assemblies. They shall set apart my Sabbaths. Chapter 45:16. And all the people of the land shall give this oblation for the prince of Israel, and it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings in the feasts, and in the new moons, and in the Sabbaths. In the seventh month, in the 15th day of the month, shall the priest do the like in the feast of the 7 days, in the feast of tabernacles. And finally, in Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 3, 46 verse 3. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship before Yahweh in the Sabbaths and in the new moons. The people of the land shall come before Yahweh in the solemn feasts. And we read in Hosea, we read earlier in Hosea, chapter 12, I am Yahweh. From the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feasts. And we read in Zechariah 14, it shall come to pass, everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up in the United States, even counted in there. At times, we have gone against Jerusalem, and we don't always support them thoroughly like we really should. And we shall go from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And so you can read that again if you like. Zechariah, or the world calls it Zechariah. Isaiah 25, the Feast of Tabernacles portrays the joyous tomorrow. Isaiah 25, and then Nahum. And this type of a wedding feast. Isaiah 25, 6. And in this mountain, Mount Zion, where Yahweh will reign. In this mountain, Zion will reign. Oh, okay. And Isaiah 24. And, let's see, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Yahweh of hosts shall make unto the people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow death up in victory. He will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. for Yahweh has spoken it. That's actually a gist, I think, of that he's put here, Richard put here, of Isaiah 25, 24, and chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. And then Nahum, behold upon the mountains, this is 1:15, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feasts, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. I, for one, am very blessed and very glad that we are meeting here for this feast, the Feast of Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, at the end of the season, at the end of the summer, and it's been a lot of rich blessings, rich fellowship, and we hope to have a great, a wonderful 8 days of fellowship, learning together, and not too much of striving or that kind of parlance, but in unity, lifting one another up and seeing where we can meet somebody else's needs. And by lifting up one another's needs and lifting up the King of Kings, we fulfill the feast. That concludes part one now of the Feast of Tabernacles 2019, part one. And please hear the next podcast from www.yahweh.com for part two. Here's Larry Ditkin.
And then if you can walk away, knowing all he died to do, that's what I'll just have to say. Don't you know he died for you? Anybody here want to live forever? Say I do. Anybody here want to walk on golden streets? Say I do. Anybody here sick and tired of living like you do? Anybody here want a home with love forever? Say I do.
Say I do.
Say I do.
Say I do.
Say I do.